Ecclesiastes chapter 8, please. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. If you do not have a Bible, it will appear behind me momentarily, I believe. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 12. All right, let us all stand, please. The title of the sermon, by the way, is a Latin phrase. I would put the Hebrew phrase, but you would have no chance of reading it. I'm going to read the Latin phrase, which, by the way, has been around in Christian circles for since the 4th century. So, you know, it's probably valuable. Coram Deo. Deo, God. Before the face of God's what it means. In Hebrew, that's Lifnei Elohim, Lifnei Yahweh, or Lifav, before Him, before the face of God. That's what we're speaking on. I'm not going to mention the Latin phrase the rest of the day. We're going to look at this in a text. I found out in Sunday school, thanks to Christy, I haven't talked to my wife yet, so she will tell me also, that I had a misspelling in the notes. I used the wrong word. Or spelling of the word palate. Did you notice that? Of course. Why didn't you check those notes? There's two words for palate. I'm guessing one has more of a French ending, and that's the one I should have used for your palate. And I used the one for a palate that you put stuff on. Okay. There might be a misspelling in the notes behind you, but there's good news. None of you will catch it. Because it's in Hebrew, and I'm the only one here that reads Hebrew. That's the good part. It's only a misspelling because sometimes Hebrew, which reads right to left, when you put it in English, it'll transpose words and get driven crazy. All right, chapter 8, please, verse 12 and verse 13. Coram Deo, before the face of God. Lifnei Yahweh, before the face of the Lord. Lifnei Elohim, before the face of God. Or Lifav, which means before the face of Him. It says, though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God. And then he says, let me explain. Which fear Lifav, which is before Him, before the face of Him. Look at me, friend. We have all kinds of people here. Some people, religion's a thing they do because of guilt. Some people do religion because they like somebody. Any kind of Christianity is something done, not physically, because you cannot see God physically, but you live before the face of God. It is intimate. It is personal. It's not a game. It's not religion. It's not out there. It's before the face of God. That's what we're going to talk about. Verse 13, please. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not, Lifnei Elohim, before the face of God. That's the reason. This morning, we're going to look at this concept of living before the face of God. It will be from the book of Ecclesiastes primarily and a few other texts. By the way, can I say this to all of you? The Hebrew word lifnei, before the face of, it's only used nearly 2,000 times in the Bible. It is a very common phrase. I'll talk about it a little bit more later. It's not a secret. By the way, a faith in the living God is not religion. It is a relationship face to face, so to speak. And by the way, in one day, it will be face to face. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you that we can come together and look at the Word of God and think about the implications. I desire, it's very simple. For anyone here that doesn't know you as personal Savior, I desire they come to know you today. For anyone that's already a believer, already following you, I desire that that relationship becomes even stronger before your face, not before my face. not before their parents' face, not before their friends' face, but before the face of God. Lifne Elohim, Lifne Yahweh. That's what we're looking for. Bless, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Tom, if you put the first picture. By the way, these are pictures of a Maya ruin. I'm sure my wife could remember it when she sees all of the pictures where this is at. This is a small Maya ruin that we've been to 4, 5, 6 times. It's called Oshkintok. It is in the northern part of the Yucatan Peninsula. It is close to the city of Merida. It is close to a much bigger site, but it's a beautiful site. You see one small pyramid there. There's a door you can go in, nothing in it. Go ahead and go to the next one, please. That was one of the entrance exits to the city. That's what remains, not a lot of the wall, but some of the wall, some of the exit mixed. That is in a different location, the same thing. The part of the exit entry still is there, mixed. That is another pyramid. Do I have any past that one, Tom? Okay, go. We can look at this and then go back to the other one. Thank you. I'll be there just for a moment. All right, folks, I show you those pictures not to interest you in weird things. As my son says, Dad, you like old stuff because you're old. I love history, folks. I mean, I'm reading a history book right now on the pioneers, the last book written by one of the greatest American historians. And it's about the people who settled the Midwest. You know where you live? Starting in Ohio. Yes, I like history. Jenny likes it too because I drag her with me. Right, Jenny? Except when there's mosquitoes. She doesn't care for mosquitoes. But I dragged her there. We've been there 4, 5, maybe 6 times. One time we were there and they had done some work and it was so beautiful. They'd cleared out some new area and we got to explore it. This is a huge place. It doesn't have the biggest pyramids, but it's a big, massive place inside the city. And then there's many outlying places around the city that they haven't excavated, done anything with. We've climbed all these pyramids multiple times, been up on top. It's a lot of fun. By the way, the best thing about the place, besides the history and the beauty, is how many people are normally there when we go, Jenny? You and me. By the way, that's the best kind of place to go to. If you go to the Maya world, you can take the tours and be one of 50,000. Or you can talk to me and be one with you and your spouse. That's what I like. We hike around, look around, poke around. Well, one day we were there. We've been there, like, say, 5 or 6 times, or 4 or 5 anyhow. I think at the most we'd ever seen is 2 other people there. One day we were there. We were probably on this pyramid, I think, or there's 2 major ones. The first one, the first picture, and this one. We were on one of the pyramids, and up drove a bus or two with school children. Can I tell you what? School children are the same universally. They're very interested in Maya ruins. Now, the school children had to be from the local area. My guess, no joke, my guess is they descend from people that live there. By the way, this place was abandoned about 900. Most of the Maya world collapsed in around 900, except a few places. This place was, so here you are going back to where your ancestors are from. And what are kids, by the way, the kids were, I don't know the exact age. I'm going to say preteen, 10 to 12, maybe 13 to 14. And they were girls. And they were like this. Screaming, running, goofing off, bouncing around, going on. I don't even remember a person being with them. I just remember the girls. They're making racket and doing all kinds of crazy things. What I remember, Jenny, we might not have been up on top, but sooner or later, we found a place to sit down and let them run their steam out. And then my wife and I had a discussion. By the way, the whole sermon's about the discussion. Are you ready? By the way, I see it every place I go. We asked a question of all these girls. Who's the queen bee? Do you all understand who the queen bee is? The queen bee is, who runs the girls? Well, Jenny gave her opinion. Do you remember this day you gave your opinion? Because there was a girl, well, she was a machine gun, laughing and talking. She said, that's the queen bee. And I said, oh, no, that's not the queen bee. Who's the queen bee? Every time a decision was made, the entire group. Do you all not know? By the way, the whole sermon is going to be about this morning. It's going to be about Qui. Not him personally, your class. I did it this week, and now you're going to know why. By the way, you look for the queen bee or the leader by who people do this to. They look back for approval. I remember the day Jenny said that the one girl was a leader. She talked a lot, and she was loud and laughing. But I said, look at the other girl. When that girl says it's time to go, they're going to go. They looked at her, and they immediately left. And then we went and climbed the pyramid. By the way, we are talking about something. Look at me. People are social, and they like to have somebody they look at and say, is it okay to do whatever it is I'm doing? Who are you looking at? Who are you looking at? Well, as a believer, Lifnei Yahweh, before the face of God, Lifnei Elohim, before the face, excuse me, the Lord, and before the face of God. That's the idea. So we'll look at that in this text. In your behind me, you will see the text again. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which is clear enough in itself. You fear Elohim. You fear the, you know, God himself. But he says, let me explain what I mean by that. Which fear before him or before his, look at me. Because when a person looks and they look at that person they want approval from, they're looking at their face and their eyes to get that approval, to do what they do. The believer lives his entire existence, her entire existence is before the face of God. Latin coram Deo, Hebrew Lifnei Elohim, Lifnei Yahweh. You live before the face of God. Number one, we start with this. Out of a relationship before the face of God. That's how we live. Out of a relationship. The text in both verse 12 and in verse 13 talk about fearing God. It says them that fear God. It says them which fear before the face of him. On the opposite, the negative side, the person that doesn't live this way, it's because he feareth not before the face of God. He does the opposite. To fear God. I have this in the notes. To fear God is the Old Testament equivalent of trusting, believing, calling, receiving, repenting. They're all New Testament words for the same Old Testament word, which means basically this. What does it mean to fear God? Well, first of all, there is that drawing near concept. We draw near to God because of Christ, because of his love for us. We draw near to God in love and for salvation and ultimately a relationship. So a person that fears God is someone that has drawn close to him and someone that's drawn close to his love and mercy found in the Lord Jesus. The Old Testament saints look forward to the cross. They had sacrifices that pointed to the cross. The ultimate Lamb of God gave his life on the cross so we could have a relationship with God. They look forward. We look back. But that's the first step, that step of drawing near. There's also a step of bowing down. Look at me in the eyes. You don't have a relationship with God like this. You have a relationship with God. Look, I don't know if I can get down and up. For you that are new, you know, I had knee replacement about 8 weeks ago. Let's see, can I get up? I think so. No, I don't think I'm going to try. I can do it, but I'm afraid I'd rip my pants, and that would be doubly bad. I can get down on my knees. I still do the plank, by the way, so I know I can get on my knees. Look at me, friend. We have people that have never bowed the knee. Fearing God has two concepts. It's drawing near. Look at me, bowing down. You can't separate them. By the way, where I'm from, people are different. I don't hear this at all anymore. I had a person call me this recently. You're a God-fearing man. That's old language, but it's all through the Bible. To fear God means You're one of those people that because of God's grace and mercy, you have drawn near for his love and mercy. And in the New Testament era, for his mercy in Christ, the Old Testament era, looking to that mercy that was going to happen when John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world." And in the New Testament, we just look back on that. You're a person that has drawn near, bowed down. So out of our relationship, out of that relationship, we live before the face of God. That is the idea. It's a beautiful idea, friend, in my opinion. There are verses you can read with me. Ecclesiastes has a lot of them. I know, Ecclesiastes 3:14, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear. Get this. It's not lifne Elohim, not lifne Yahweh. It's just using the pronoun, which is lifnav, before him. By the way, our relationship with God is something before him. It's not distant. It's not religion. It's that relationship. Ecclesiastes 5:7 doesn't use that phrase, but it simply says this: "For in the multitude of dreams and many words there are divers or diverse vanities, but fear thou," or you, "fear God." Chapter 7, verse 17. "It is good that thou shouldest take hold of this, yea," or "yes, also that this withdraw not thy hand. For he that feareth God shall come forth of them all." We've already read Ecclesiastes 8, 12, and 13. Chapter 12, when we finish this book in the near future, concludes by saying this. Let us hear the conclusion of everything we've been talking about. Fear God. But he's already talked about fearing God in many texts. What does it mean before the face of God, before the face of the Lord, before the face of him? I put some Hebrew here for you, if you would. You don't have to read Hebrew. You have a lamed preposition. That's the word to or toward. The word before, the Hebrew word before, has two parts. It has a preposition, to or toward, and it has this. The Hebrew word for face, which is the word panay. And it, lifne, simply means to go before the face of whatever it is. Sometimes it's the face of the water. Sometimes it's the face of a building. Sometimes it's the face of a ground. But in this case, it's the face of God. Look at me. I don't know everybody here. Have you got it? Look up here. Have you got it? This is not a game. This is not what you do at church. This is what we do before the face of God. Out of this relationship. That's the lifne. Now, I say in the next thing, and this is important for you to know, this word before is used lots of times in the Old Testament. It's much like our word goodbye. Goodbye used to be either one of these or both of these. God be with you, or God bless you. But we kind of shrunk it down and kind of took the God part out, the Christian part out, and simply say goodbye. But it used to be God bless you or God be with you. We dropped all of that and we shortened it up to goodbye. Lifne means before the face of, and when God is there, it's before the face of God. Now, it's not always used that way. Sometimes it's just more of a normal word for before. Before the face of. I said in the prayer this morning, my mother has been in the hospital this week. You know, she's not a child. She's 93. She started having difficulties breathing. I think they've tried to work with her over the last week or two, and it didn't help, so she had to go to the hospital. She has pneumonia, or had pneumonia. She's having difficulties breathing, having some difficulty swallowing. You know what that means? Not for you, for me. That means I don't talk to my mom for a week. You say, why? I can call my mother. This is what I'll get. The phone will ring. She'll pick it up. And by the way, she has that phone so loud that it deafens me here from Springfield, Illinois. She'll say hello. And I say, hi, Mom. This is Ralph. And she'll say, can you speak louder? It's like, yeah, if I want the whole, you know, Lake County, Illinois to hear, you know, she's listening. She can't hear. Can I say this? My sister, a few years ago, bought something. a day on WhatsApp. My sister bought an attachment to WhatsApp that's a screen. And she can take, when she goes into the room, she can hook up her WhatsApp to that screen. Can I say something? My mom still can't hear. But I can see my mother's face. So, and my mother has a great sense of humor. She enjoys life. She enjoys making fun of me, of course. I love it because I get to see her expressions. Now, friends, let's not get weird. You don't see God's literal face. Okay, so let's, you know, please don't come up to me and say, I saw Jesus last night. By the way, if you come up to me and say, I saw Jesus last night, Leticia, listen, I'm going to say you probably saw somebody by the name of Jesus. I don't think you saw Jesus, okay? But listen, 1 Corinthians 13 says, one day we will see him face to face. Yes, right now, it is as if out of this relationship, we see him face to face. And by the way, I can't see his physical face, but he can see mine. That's what it means. Lifne Yahweh, Lifne Elohim, before the face of God. Number two, I want to take this, I want to make this as practical as I possibly can do this morning. Chapter 8, verse 12 and 13 again, please, says this. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God. By the way, that's just the normal way of saying fear God, but he says, I want to explain it. I want you to understand what I mean, which fear before the face of him. It's not some distant thing where I feel guilty. Not about that. It's that intimate relationship, out of that relationship. But we're also serving him, walking with him, loving him, before his face. Verse 13 does the opposite, says, well, the wicked, it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall they prolong his days, for which are as a shadow, because he feareth not. Again, you have that same language, before God. Lifne Elohim. They don't fear before God. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Secondly, not only out of a relationship before the face of God, secondly, under his gaze, before the face of God. This takes things up another notch, friend. It takes things way up another notch, by the way. You say, why? I put in behind me a quote that I memorized 45 years ago, probably from A.A. Hodge. He's speaking about God, and he said this: God knows all things, past, present, and future, both possible and actual. When we say we live before the face of God, not only out of a relationship, but also under his gaze, he is looking at us. He is looking at us. We're going to read verses in a minute. Now, I'm going to take a drink of water. Everybody look up here. I got a question for you. Do you know there are cameras in this building? Let's ask this question. How many of you know that you don't know there's cameras in this building? Folks, there's cameras right up in the balcony. I don't think there's, Tom, there's no cameras in here particularly. They're up in the balcony. Or is there some here? Well, you can see the balcony. By the way, we have cameras in all public spaces, pretty much. Now, hear me. We do not have cameras in two places. Number one, bathrooms. That's called privacy. And by the way, decency. And number two, we don't have them in the classrooms for privacy reasons, because kids are kids. We have them every other place. By the way, do you know? Let's ask another question. And do me a favor. If you know, raise your hand. Don't speak out loud. Do you know who can see those all the time? Rhonda. Yeah, but Emily's too nice. She never sees anything. There's a mean person in this room that watches the cameras. She can, but she does not. There's a meaner person here. Kui. Ah, there you go. Well, okay, I'll maybe equal to Amy on the meanness side. By the way, friend, I'm not being funny here. I love to watch kids. Kids will do something stupid and think nobody sees. But we don't make it, we don't try to hide them. They're all up and down the hallways. They're just not in places where a child should have a reasonable privacy. And for privacy laws, we don't do them in classrooms. But by the way, children do all kinds of stupid things. You say, not my children. Okay, now Amy now doesn't do those things. But back in the day when she was in our school as a student, how many years ago, when did you graduate, Amy? You're not answering that question. Let's see, John graduated in 2002. That's 23 years ago. You graduated in 2005. So that means you graduated 20 years ago from Lake County Baptist School. Is that correct? Now, we didn't have cameras back then, but let me tell you, she hung out with some bad people. Carrie Hall, trouble incarnate. By the way, that's a joke, by the way. You guys don't know Carrie, I can tell. Listen, friends, kids are kids. We don't really try to be the Gestapo on kids. I just said this to you for one reason. The child doesn't know because the child's not thinking face to face. The child's thinking, I'm good, but people are watching. Look at me. God sees you. You're always under his gaze. The Christian doesn't think God is off some other place. The Christian knows when I come to him for salvation, yes, out of that relationship, I live before the face of God, but out of that relationship, I also am under his gaze. No, I can't see him face to face. Let's not get weird, but he can see me. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. There's no guilt here. It's just factual. Let's read the other verses. Genesis 18, verse 22. I love this. Same language, by the way. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet, here it is, Lifne Yahweh, before the Lord. Chapter 19, verse 27. Abraham got up early in the morning. I know he was not Ralph Warren. Ralph Warren does not like to get up early in the morning. I like to go to bed late at night. But Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he did what? He stood Lifne Yahweh, before the Lord. This is personal, friend. Out of that relationship before the face of God, under his gaze, nothing weird, no guilt, just facts. Exodus 2, verse 15, now a totally different thing. Now when Pharaoh heard this, he sought to slay or to murder Moses. But Moses fled. Look at the language in the King James. From the what? From the what? Face of Pharaoh. By the way, same language. Why? Because Moses saying, if I can get away from Pharaoh where he can't see me, he can't kill me. Here's our problem. Where can you go where God can't see you? Jonah, chapter 1, please. It's in the notes above me. It's by what a funny statement. This is a hilarious statement for a prophet. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from Lifne Yahweh. He wanted to get away from the face of God seeing him. How do you do that? Is there a way to do that? By the way, I want to be clear. This is not a guilt thing. So look at me, everybody. Are you a guilt-oriented person? We're not talking to you because you're playing a game. You're not talking about a relationship with God. We're simply saying this. When you get saved, you have a relationship that's intimate and personal before the face of God. And out of that relationship, you live before the face of God and you live under his gaze. By the way, can I say this to all of you? I didn't demonstrate this. That should be the biggest blessing of your life. It means he's always watching out for you. It's not just negative. It's just real. It's just who he is. Our God sees us. He cares for us. He loves us. He's with us. Lifne Yahweh. Lifne Elohim. Coram Deo, before the face of God. That's who we serve. Well, we go to the third concept. We go back to the text we've already read, Ecclesiastes 8. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God. Then by way of explanation, which fear before him. what? Before the face of him, before his face. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth what? Not lifnei Elohim. He doesn't fear before God's face. He doesn't have that. My third point is, and by the way, friends, please look at me. I'm going to tell you, teenagers, are you young in this room? The greatest truth I ever learned is the next truth I'm going to share. Hear me. All of my problems as a teenager all come down to one thing. Now, I did not grow up in the as well as some of you. I grew up, we'll be blunt. My wife grew up nice and kind and sweet in a church. And Pastor Warren grew up smoking dope, drinking beer, raising Hades. Even though I went to church and my mother was a Christian, and I was a Christian mess. Do you know why? Everything boiled down to the next idea of this before the face of God. Number three. For his what? You see, you're going to look to somebody for approval. Everybody does. Now, I'm going to speak to my buddy Quee, but it's not about Quee. He was in the class, so he knows. Quee, I came into class because this was my first full week, and I changed your seating arrangement. Correct, friend? Now, why did I do that? Look, look, look. Some of the kids probably think, oh, Pastor Warren doesn't like me sitting by my friend. No, I don't want to separate friends. You say, Pastor Warren wants to break up their romantic relationships. Yeah, I do. But that's not the point. I'm going to be seated. I want you to look at me. I can't do it up here. Should I walk down? I got time. I can walk down. By the way, my knees are working well enough to walk up and down now. So that's good, even without holding on. I want you to look at me. You don't know this. Quee doesn't. He's going to learn for the first time today. I watch people, not him. He's fine. He's actually respectful. He has to be because his dad would kill him if he wasn't, okay? It's really simple. But listen, I watch kids. Do you never watch people? We're seated looking the same way. And the person up here starts, they're looking for that person they're looking for approval from. Do you not know this? Adults do it too. Some adults, by the way, no comment on which ones. It's usually a couple, and one of the persons in the couple always looks at their spouse. And that can be either two ways. It can be this, you know, are you listening? Or it can be, well, that's what my husband does. By the way, we're looking for approval from somebody. I separate kids for primarily one reason, to cut the lines of approval, because I want to deal with each child. I don't want to deal with Malachi looking over his shoulder. So I'll separate them around where they can't figure out where to look. Because your approval should come from the face of God, not from always looking behind you or beside you or in front of you. You should be looking up, because the only approval you need is his approval. By the way, game changer for me. I smoked dope. I got drunk. I played the fool because I wanted to please whoever. Now, when I got a little older, teenagers, are you listening? I realized I was trying to please people that weren't worth my effort. I had a cousin. I'll tell the story shortly. I was between 7th and 8th grade. So young people, parents, this happened to the guy you're looking at. 7th and 8th grade, I went to a big family reunion on my dad's side. Both of my families were huge. I knew more of my mom's side because we saw them always. Dad's side was bigger and more fragmented, but there were 200 or 300 people at this park. I am between 7th and 8th grade. A 7th grade boy has no idea who they are. Yes or no? None. Into the park rides a guy. You got to think the era. Sorry, this is about 1969 or 70, right after Woodstock. And the only thing I wanted to be was to be cool like a hippie. He rides into the park on a 1200 Harley. That got my attention. He had hair to the middle of his back. Remember, we're hippie age. He rides into the park on long hair, and on the back of him, I'm going to use the language from the 60s and early 70s, was a hot chick. I am a seventh grade doofus. That's Greek. Doofus. You say, what does it mean? I don't know what it means, but I wasn't very smart. And by the way, not only did he come to the park, he had a friend on 1200 Harley, too. They drove into the park, and I found out, first time I ever met him, he was my third cousin, I believe, on Dad's side. His name was Doug. Doug was cool. He had all the hair. He had the 1200 Harley. Look at me. He had the hot chick. And I'm sorry, he played bass in a major rock band. He was a guy. That isn't even the problem. He came right up to me. Now, I confess to you, between 7th and 8th grade, are you guys listening? Between 7th, and by the way, my mother didn't know because my mother didn't understand the generation gap thing. My mother's culture was her mother's culture, and my grandmother's culture was great-grandma's culture. The cultural gap happened because of one thing. None of you know, probably. It happened, by the way. Is there a phone? Is that your phone right here? Would you pick it up for me? I don't want it. I just want you to hold it up. Everybody see that thing right there? That will cause more problems in your family because your children are not listening to what you listen to. But it started in 1954. A little transistor radio. All of a sudden, I had different music than my parents. Do you realize no kid on planet Earth ever had different music than their parents before 1954? That's when the generation gap began. That thing there's 100-fold worse. I don't need to talk about that. Let me give you the rest of the story. Doug walked up to me and talked to me. And I am between 7th and 8th grade doofus. Do you know if your kid's a doofus? Follower. Between 7th and 8th grade, he took me out to the park with him and his hot chick. And she was nice to me, too. And introduced me for the first time in my life to this. No, I didn't inhale either. Can I say this to you? From 1970 or 69 to 1975, I was a complete unadulterated fool because everything I did was for the approval of Doug. I didn't see him that often. But that's who I wanted to be. You know your kids, you can tell them right and wrong and all that. Can I say this? No criticism of anybody. Your kids care more about basketball players. Pop Franco came here a couple years ago. Pastor Franco taught my class. He was so infuriated. He says, all these kids want to be a pop star, a basketball player, or an influencer. It's like, what about an engineer? Something you might be able to attain. What about a doctor? What about a nurse? No, I want to be an influencer, a pop star, or a basketball player. That's who your kids are looking at. I didn't look at those. I looked at my cousin because rock bands. You say, what changed? Well, it's in your notes. Are you all listening? By the way, I changed your class, Quee. I changed your class up for one reason, to break down the communication thing because I want to talk to each student individually in the class. I don't want this kid to always be looking over at this kid because they don't know how to make independent choices. They're always looking at the face of somebody else. This verse helped me later on in life. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 4. Now, it's about a pastor, but don't get caught up in that piece of it. It's this. Paul says, but as we were allowed of God, to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but what? Otherwise, not as pleasing men, but as pleasing God. Your friend, before the face of God, out of that relationship of a fear, meaning we draw near in salvation and we bow before him, under his gaze and for his approval. So this is what I would like, if you're a believer, quit looking around to whoever you think's got the answers. What does God think? Let me get his approval. Look at me. The moment I got this, I was done with the stupid. Now, there are people here. I'm not mad at anybody. I know in a church there are people here, you have addictive properties, addictive tendencies. I didn't have those. I did all of my stupid for one reason, to fit in and to be cool. Teachers, do you think most kids are that way? Most kids do what they do, and you don't even see them. They're always looking, and by the way, it can be a girl, it can be a guy. A couple years, in the last 5 or 6 years, I had one person, I don't even remember who it was, the whole two rows would all turn back and look at that person. It was like, what? So I had to isolate that person. Students thought I was being mean. Missed the whole point. Now you understand. By the way, you're not going anyplace until your main approval is him. Him, not somebody. You'll play the guilt game because your culture is guilt-oriented. You'll fit in for guilt while you're here, and shame. If you're a Filipino, good old-fashioned hiyah, you're always shamed. That's not Christianity. Christianity is a relationship with him. I want his approval. And that solves about 90% of the stupid. Or you keep looking over your shoulder wanting somebody's approval that isn't worth your time. Thank you. We conclude. Genesis 17. Now we take this one step further. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am the Almighty God. I started with this text when about a month and a half ago thinking about it. He said, walk. What's that word? Walk before my face. That's what I want. Abraham, I want you to live before me the rest of your life. Genesis 24. He said unto me, the Lord before whom, what is it? It's before. It's the Lord before his face I walk. Genesis 48:15, and he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk. Can you imagine Jacob is saying to his son, one of his sons, Joseph, he's saying, what I know about Abraham and Isaac, not perfection. Look at me. They walked before his face. That's what took them there. The last concept is Exodus 19, verse 7. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words. He laid before, this is plural, their faces. Because, please look at me. The fourth point, by the way, is we walk, everything is lived out of a relationship before the face of God, under his gaze, for his approval, and according to his word. By the way, everything is looking at him. Looking for his approval, looking for his what he wants. That's simple. Or you can live your life. By the way, teenagers and younger, or you can live your life this way, because I've seen lots of teenagers. They're 30 years old and they're still looking at their friends. Who cares about your friend? I want to conclude by quoting an old pastor. He pastored Moody Memorial Church back in the 30s, 40s. H.A. Ironside. He said this, your friends can laugh you into hell, but they can't laugh you out. Why are you looking at your friends? Look at me. Lifnei Elohim, before the face of God. Lifnei Yahweh, before the face of the Lord. Everything is before his face. Out of that relationship, under his gaze, for his approval. Not, well, I wonder what so, who cares about so? Can I say this? I'm going to repeat something I said, I think, in Sunday school, I think, or I did this week. No, it was yesterday. I talked to a young man that graduated from the school yesterday. Not going to tell you who. Fine young man. I said, young man, you need to get over this worship of people. He's grown up in a church where his father said to him, I believe it because the pastor said it to me. I looked at the young man and I said this, are you looking at me? I said to the young man, I'm 68 years old, you're 18. If the Lord tarries, you're going to live a long time on earth, and I'm not going to be here. You better get a relationship directly to and his word. That's what counts. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. May it both comfort and convict. This thing that we do is before your face. And we like to please certain people. That's good. I like to see my mother smile. When I go home to see my mom, I take her out to eat, and I'm looking for her approval, of course, because I'm doing it for her. I don't take her to my favorite restaurant. I take her to her restaurant, of course. Father, help us to hear. But in the big picture of life, we must live before your face. Seek your approval. Know that you see us, both negatively and positively. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And he's both seeing the stupid we do sometimes, but also, very preciously, he sees, cares, loves, helps, intervenes. And Father, may all of us, according to your word, live our lives before the face of God. This we ask in Christ's name. Amen.